We now go to the KODY phone lines as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us. Senator Groney, how was your weekend?
Good, good.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Back east trying to help a couple of candidates run for legislature. So, and also went back and seen a speech by Governor Huckabee back in Omaha. Really inspiring. He's a good man. But election time, as we know, and a little disconcerting. I mean, we ought to be really concerned in this country, the coup that's going on with the liberal press and politicians in Washington. I mean, it's really scary when you start having only one-sided issue discussed.
Yeah.
And things are being censored and numbers made up, and it's not good. But maybe right and good will prevail, and we are country's individuals who maybe have the wisdom to vote and see through some of the stuff there, that's out there. But we'll find out. Anyway, we're going to talk today about the ballot and the constitutional amendments and initiatives that are on the ballot. People have been asking me about them. The first one is the 1CA. They're out there touting it that they're going to finally prohibit slavery in the state of Nebraska. That's absolutely false. Absolutely false. I wish we'd had more time to study this in the legislature, but Senator Wayne threw up the word slavery, and you can't vote against slavery. Our Constitution bans slavery like all state constitutions do. What he's striking is for a duly convicted felon, and the wording in our Constitution is kind of vague because it now says there shall be neither slavery nor involuntary servitude in this state otherwise than for the punishment of a crime whereas the party shall have been duly convicted. That does need to be straightened out. What we should have done is said there shall be no slavery in this state, and then we should have had another sentence that said there should, in this state, there shall be no involuntary servitude otherwise for the punishment of a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. Let me tell you what's going to happen if we take that out of the Constitution, that line, otherwise than for the punishment of a crime. Your sheriff will not be able to tell the prisoner to make his bed without paying him minimum wage. He will not be able to tell him to pick up his lunch tray and return it to the kitchen without paying him minimum wage and the taxpayer offering workman's compensation. If a young person has a drinking problem, goes into jail for drinking, once he's sober, he's fine, and the sheriff says, well, you want to get outside? You want to go outside and wash the police cars or police the area and pick up cigarette butts and stuff? No longer will they be able to do that. They'll have to pay him the minimum wage of $9 a day. That is what you want. What you will have is people being sentenced to crime and vegetating in the cell without any rehabilitation. That is what they want. It sounds great that you're going to ban slavery, but we already have banned slavery in the state of Nebraska. There are Supreme Court cases that, you know, have separated that. But no, that doesn't mean that you can, if a person is convicted of a felony and in prison, that you can enslave them. Doesn't mean that. This is another incremental attack, anarchy, to say that prisoners in our county jails, anything you ask them to do is involuntary servitude. That is what we were doing if you vote yes for 1CA. It can be corrected, but the language should be a lot better. Anyway, so I'm voting no on it, and I'll work with Senator Wayne to rewrite something a little better if we can, but I'm afraid it's going to pass because they're out there saying we have slavery in this state. Remember, this has nothing to do with race, because most of our felons and people that are incarcerated are a Caucasian, so it's not has anything to do with race. Whatever. I'm not voting for it. You can do what you want, but of course, free country. And then the second one is that 14 CA, where they in extremely blighted areas. Senator Wayne again brought that, where an area we don't have an area in North Platte that qualifies. They call it extremely blighted. It has to have a very high, according to the Census Bureau, unemployment rate and poverty rate. But and then instead of 15 years, which maximum on TIF, my micro TIF, we just put to 10 years, get the money back to do its good, and then get the money back to the tax community. But in those areas, it would be 20 years. I added an amendment to it, and it was passed to define it better in the Constitution. I offered amendment, Amendment 1255, that added a definition to extremely blighted, which was due to a high rate of unemployment combined with a high poverty rate as determined by law. When you read that in the voting booth, that was added by Senator Groney. Because I watched too often the economic developers twist the words and get a good lawyer. Well, we already know what they've done to the definition of blighted. But I wanted more clarity. I don't know if it does any harm to vote for it. I will agree with Senator Wayne. The one thing that we do agree on is that TIF is not being used correctly. It was meant to redevelop blighted, truly blighted. I don't even want to use that term. Older parts of town, where the sewers and the streets and the curbs and the sidewalks and the buildings are foundation have settled by no cause of the tenant, the owner. And, well, people are buying new houses. They got new streets and sewers, storm sewers, and the folks who have lived in the older part of town pay the same taxes, and it hasn't been upgraded. TIF was meant to upgrade that, those areas. But that's what that 14 CA does. It just adds another 5 years. It tries to incentivize contractors to do it in blighted and substandard areas, truly blighted and substandard areas, and where poverty is, what we used to call the ghettos and slums. But by offering them an extra 5 years of financing. So I'll probably vote for it because I have my amendment in it. The other one is the payday loan one. I happen to believe that's not a bad bill. Let me give you a little. Payday loan things popped up. You know when they popped up and those stores came to town?
Mm-hmm.
When the liberals and the Democrats in Washington decided that credit card companies were greedy and charging too high interest rates. Remember that?
Yeah. and they bring
what
these.
What happened was the free market. Yeah, the free market was saying, all right. So you didn't know how to spend your money in the past and weren't accountable. The credit card company would say, I will give you a credit card, but you're going to pay 35% interest or 40% interest. You say, that's outlandish. No, it isn't. If you pay it off in 30 days, you don't pay any interest rates like most of us do. But what it was doing is they weren't making 40%. When you offer five people with good credit references, 8 or 10 or 15% interest rate, five of those people will pay their bills. When you offer five people with a bad credit history, two out of the five won't pay their bills. So you have to charge more, 40% interest, to make up the losses from them before you even make a profit. They're not greedy. They're business people. And when they took that credit card option away from people with bad credit history, here came the loan sharks. Cause and effect. That's why those popped up. And but their fees, their late fees, well, I think some credit card late fees are just a story. But their late fees that they're charging somebody for $300, and if you miss your payment, it's a week loan, basically, they charge you $75 for a late fee. That's not right. A lot of people in desperate situation when they walk in there. So, but a 35% interest rate's fair. because those folks probably will close most of their doors, because the reality is they won't collect a lot of their loans back. And there's going to be people, again, that can't get an emergency loan because we restricted it, but it, you know, you can go too far. So I'll probably be voting for the payday lenders. The gambling, I've struggled with that. If you're a person who can control your and just do it for entertainment, it's a good thing, but for most, it's not. For a lot of them, it's not, and it's the idea that you agree to something bad because you're going to collect taxes on it. Your property taxes might go down 0.5%. Isn't a good reason to support gambling. If you got the money to gamble, you got the money to go to Iowa. If you got the money to gamble, you got the money to go to Las Vegas. If you don't have the money to go to Las Vegas, you shouldn't be gambling. That's the reality of it. Should be making your mortgage payment. You should be helping your kids. You shouldn't be gambling. But so I just can't come around to supporting it. Plus, it's not. We're on the bottom of the pyramid scheme. I mean, gambling when it was only in Vegas and Nevada and then they expanded in New Jersey. It was you know, something unique. And you flew there and but now it's everywhere. You can go down into Kansas. I mean, you can go in Nebraska and Emerson, Nebraska on the reservation and gamble. They're already there. You know, and if you look after yourself, then North Platte, Chamber of Commerce, I'll be putting in a racetrack, one loop, short little racetrack, and have one race a year and start a racetrack so you can put a casino in North Platte. I guess there already is one. Machines, but anyway, I just don't see the reason for it and what we actually gain by doing gambling. It doesn't help North Platte, put it that way. It doesn't help my district at all. It's just going to cause more of our people with their entertainment money to drive somewhere else, Grand Island, to gamble. If I'm looking after my district, it isn't good for my district. It isn't good for the state. So I'm not going to support the gambling initiative. So anyway, those are the ones that are, I believe, on the state ballot.
Yep.
Locally, I'm always honest with people. You're talking about people, and I'm a little disappointed on the sales pitch on the quality growth fund. There ought to be two sides of everything, and I'm going to give you the other side. I'm not saying to vote against Quality Growth Fund. This is a decision, but you should have both sides of the fact. When they tell you that does not cost you anything, they're lying. Sales taxes generated go into the general fund. The general fund is there for public safety, for streets, libraries, things like that. That's what government's supposed to do. If in the last year, If the $643,000 collected was left in the general fund, if you had a $200,000 house, they could have lowered your property taxes $150. In the years prior to that, it went up. That was 15%. When it hit $650,000 from 14 to 17, that was up to 18.5% of your property tax that could have been lowered. That is the other side of the coin. Now, the coin they're talking about is free enterprise can't do it alone. And some of the things they're doing is good, and I don't blame any of the businesses that took, asked for and received the money. For example, the Alcor. If you've ever started a business, the most stressed time on your income is when that first 6 months or so you're trying to get rolling.
Sure.
No income's coming in. You're trying to fix your building up. You're trying to get the marketing done. You're trying to hire people, but yet you have expenses and no income. That's where the Quality Growth Fund, in a lot of instances, has helped small businesses. That's startup money. But in the good old days, that's what a banker was for. Bankers used to be community bankers and would extend loans, low interest rates, to get somebody started. You know, they can set their interest rate. They don't have to give me the same interest rate as you. They can come in and say, I want that business in my town. I'm going to give this business a lower interest rate. I'm going to hang with them if they're a little late once in a while. That's the way it used to be done. Banks in Nebraska have had the highest profits historically 3 years in a row. That's the way it used to be done. Now we got the taxpayers funding business. Why? I can't change that. But we need to. You need to know both sides of the coin. Has the Quality Growth Fund done some good things? Yes, it has. And that hopeful one, probably a good one. That should have been TIF. It should have been a business in there a long time ago. But we lost over 1,500 people in this town, in North Platte and Lincoln County, since. So it hasn't driven the economy. It hasn't created the jobs they've talked about. We're losing them faster than we're gaining them. As it helps us, you and I, as consumers, to access to some smaller businesses in town? Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And those people who own them and run and I'm glad they're there. So they're hardworking people, entrepreneurs, and property taxes are lower. They might be able to survive longer. But that's the other side of the coin. Remember, folks, those are tax dollars. And if they were left in the general fund, you would be paying less property tax. Your streets would be better. The downtown would have been redone sooner. They could have helped. A city can offer grants. They can run a policy. An open one would not defined as well. And they could have helped with awnings downtown. Just like they donate money now to the Children's Museum and to Central Nebraska Land Aid. The city could have, if you elect good people, those council people could make those decisions to help the downtown group, the old town group. They could have done that without the Quality Growth Fund. But they would have been in control of the money when a disaster happens. Or they need more firemen. Or they need to replace something in the community. But now that money is tied up. That's the other side of the Quality Growth Fund. I would have a hard time in the voting booth voting for or against it right now. But you need to know the other side of the coin, and you are not getting it in the local press. You're not getting it in the local news. You're not getting it from a local official. That's no better than the national press, what they're doing with Trump. You need to share both sides of an issue. It scares me when it doesn't happen. Anyway, still wonder sometimes why I do this. But you got to tell the people the truth. Election, as far as Nebraska, it looks good, I think, to switch subjects on you. I think some of the more conservative, fiscal-minded, family values senators are leading some races in Nebraska that are really close, but they're leading. That's when you start praying, folks. But we need to change the makeup of the legislature so we can, if the nation goes bad, that we can keep Nebraska strong. Any other, you guys have any issues you want to discuss? Or?
Well, Senator Groney, I guess while we're on the topic of politics, you mentioned that you're down at the Capitol or down in Lincoln. You've been helping out some colleagues or some individuals running for the offices. Would you mind telling us who you're supporting at the state legislature?
Saturday, we were in Senator Erdman, myself, Senator Erdman, Halloran, and Albrecht were in Fremont endorsing David Rogers. Good, strong, pro-Trump conservative against Senator Lynn Walz. She's on my education committee. She's very, very liberal. She's the one that stopped the 147, the teacher protection child bill in my committee. She told me she would vote it out of committee, and then the political term has backstabbed me, and then put it the opposite direction, so we had to pull it. She continues to bring mental health and social worker, hiring more of them in our schools. She's one of those that believes children don't misbehave or have a sin nature or rebel against authority, they misbehave, they're mentally ill. That should scare all of us. So we're trying to help David.
And you might remember she was Bob Crist's running mate for lieutenant governor a few years ago, if memory serves correct.
And in Dodge County, which she represents, she couldn't even deliver that. Ricketts and Foley got 62% of the vote in her own county, and she was the lieutenant governor. But she tells the local, she's a really nice person. But so was Satan, and also Eve and Apple, is what I tell folks about nice. But anyway, Senator Quick and Grand Island is in trouble. Senator Allager is running again. You know, he had it prior to Quick. Well, 12 years. Gore was in between there. But he stepped up again, and he's running, and the polls show that he's really closing in on Quick. That would be a good improvement. Senator Blood, the one where I got her to say she hated being a Catholic and changed her vote on 814, the abortion bill, she's in trouble. A good veteran, 20-year veteran from Bellevue, is Harkoff, I think it is. Can't remember the name. But Tim, I call him Tim. leading slightly in the polls, and that's a great change. Would be a great change. Senator Crawford, which was very, very progressive, she got term limited, and Rita Sanders, who was a past mayor of Bellevue, is leading slightly in the polls that race. That would be a huge change. We'll get Nebraska, the legislature looking more like Nebraska. As I said earlier, when a governor wins 62% of the vote, when Sass is going to win 80 or 90% of the vote, when Fisher wins 60 to 70% of the vote when she runs, the legislature should reflect what the overall view of the state of Nebraska citizens is, and do this nonpartisan individuals like the Walzes and the Quicks can go out there and campaign as reasonable conservatives and then go back and vote very, very progressive. But hopefully Providence proves we can turn things around a little bit. Because I get involved because I didn't go down there to, as I tell my wife, don't put in my obituary that I was a senator. I want people to remember me as a good father and a businessman. But I didn't go down there for the title. I wanted to get something done, so I get involved in other races and try to help we can get the majority so we can do the right thing down in the legislature.
Now, Senator Groney, obviously that's a big part of the job. You're still working right now, endorsing some of these individuals, colleagues that you've worked with well in the past, people that you feel would be good in their seats respectively. So obviously you're still working right now. And if there's anybody in the Lincoln County area that has a state issue too, would highly encourage them to reach out to you because, like we said, you are still working here, though the legislature's not in session.
Yeah, this politics and legislature isn't in session, but we're, you know, with every 2 years after an election, we have a vote again in the legislature for who the chairman of the committees are. So if you don't have the right numbers in the legislature, in that quandary, I can do a whole bunch of work on bills coming out of education next year. But if the election doesn't come out right and I don't have 25 votes to be chairman of the education committee, everything I did goes in the trash. Because the person replacing me will not have the same viewpoints about education, about protecting the classroom, protecting teachers, pushing civics. They will have the Walls' attitude of more psychiatrists, more social workers, putting more government employees between the parents and the children, more authoritative figures between them. And then you wonder why the family fails.
And cost.
But so that's, things happen fast, and you don't have long terms. So I have to make sure I'm chairman before I can start, and I'll have a 2-month period to push hard to get the bills ready for next year out of the Education Committee. You know, I'm working on the bills as a general general bills as a state senator for my district. I'm helping, like I said last week, I'm working with Senator Sheriff Kramer on a bill. I'm still working on NCORP, another version. And there's some other ones we're trying to fix up. Right now we're working, my staff and I are having meetings all the time with the Department of Revenue and the Department of Economic Development, and we met the other day. We're going to be meeting with the League of Municipalities to make sure all the forms that are in the bill, on the microTIF bill, coordinate, so it makes it easy for the average citizen and the average city clerk to process the TIF, microTIF application. So there's always follow-up on your bills, too, if you're a good senator, to make sure what your intent was is understood by the policymaker, by the bureaucratic policymakers. So we're doing that. And yes, we get calls on from constituents struggling with HHS and Medicaid and all sorts of issues. But we can get a lot of it solved. Sometimes we can't. We do what we do, and we do what we can.
Very good.
Now, Senator Groney, if there's a constituent that wants to get in contact with you or a member of your office regarding any state issues, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you, sir?
Best way is to email mgroney at leg.ne.gov. And the other one, you can call me on my cell phone. Leave a message if I don't answer. Half of them I call back if I didn't catch the call, or somebody trying to sell me an extended warranty on a vehicle. But so, you know, the scamming and phone numbers.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm open. I'm always been there. And so that's where we're at.
Well, Senator Groney, we sure do appreciate the time here on Monday morning. Safe travels throughout the state for you, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
We'll be there. If you're there, you're the one been missing lately.
This is true.
Get him, Mike.
All right. Just making up for the ones I missed.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Senator Groney. Have a good week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye now. That again, State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. I think when it comes to this time of the year, Rick, there's a lot of lawmakers down at the unicameral that probably aren't doing a whole lot. They're not working a whole lot. They don't have to be right now.
No.
And they certainly aren't compensated for work during this time. However, that's not stopping the Lincoln County Representative Mike Groney from getting the job done and helping several members of the legislature running for re-election, or maybe individuals that he feels will do a better job at representing the state run for the office.
I think that's what we saw in Mike when he was a candidate and then for re-election, is that he doesn't stop working. He's always thinking toward the betterment of his constituents and the betterment of the state of Nebraska, and that's why we want him there.
Yep. So commend the senator, and Mike's not the only one. I know there's a lot of lawmakers down at the state capitol that are continuing to work during the downtime of the legislature. Obviously, session not going on right now, so there's a lot of individuals who may not be fulfilling their duty as a state lawmaker right now. Maybe they're just taking some downtime trying to focus on A, B, and C. But at the same time, we pay these individuals not a lot, but they are paid to work throughout the entire year. Not compensated a lot, but still paid to work throughout the entire year nonetheless. So appreciate all those great lawmakers that are continuing to work here around the clock and throughout the interesting challenges that stem from COVID-19 and everything else going on.